The scripture passages that I'm going to read are first from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. And the second is from Book of Habakkuk, Prophecy of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 14 says, but the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Lord always blesses the reading of his inspired and most holy and infallible word.
I want to thank our brother who read the scriptures for us. He's read from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3. And he's read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. But I want to read a couple more scriptures, Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9 specifically. Haggai 2, and I don't know if it's going to come up on the screens, but if it doesn't, I will just quickly find it in my Bible. I didn't mark them. In fact, can we start from verse 6? The Bible says, for thus says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations. Everybody say all. Nobody is excluded. And they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. I don't know how many times the scripture repeats, says the Lord of hosts. When you see that, you need to pay attention because God is telling us, I'm going to move through my angelic host. And tonight, I believe this atmosphere is impregnated with many angels. They're just all over this place. They're waiting to do the bidding of the Lord as we speak his word, as we speak his promises. Praise the Lord. It will be remiss of me if I do not acknowledge my wife and introduce my wife, Dr. Abby. Please stand up. And you can see that God has blessed me. She's getting prettier and prettier and prettier with the years. Amazing. I think I know what happened to Sarah. Those who understand, understand. I'm not going to explain it. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for Pastor Abby and for her strength, you know, and for her diligence, commitment to the kingdom. When I first got born again, I didn't know the Bible. And then God began to challenge me to teach, and I didn't know the Bible. So how can somebody doesn't know teach the Bible? So I will sit down in a meeting and the Holy Spirit will speak to me. I will hear his voice telling me the scripture you need to read is in John chapter 1 verse 14. I didn't even know where John was. So I'll tell my wife, I say, where's John? She's born again. She was born again and she grew up in church. So she understood she'll be the one opening the Bible for me. But after some time, I started finding my way around the Bible. And even that whole thing about God just telling me where scriptures were stopped, because it was only for a season just for me to get into it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see everybody, see all the leaders, Christian, everybody. So many people I can acknowledge, but I don't really want to take the time. Let me jump into the word of the Lord. Amen. Let me quickly say, we're living in a very strange time. Okay, it's a strange time. If you listen to the news, you might even wonder, where is God in all these things happening? The Bible tells us very clearly from Isaiah chapter 60 that darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Bible says that in this darkness, the church will arise and its glory will be seen upon us. So I don't really want to pay too much attention to global issues because they are supposed to be there. I want to pay attention to what is coming that I believe is going to transform us. Pastor Malcolm and I were chatting earlier on about swimming in deep sea. That's something that both of us like. I didn't know that. I like deep sea swimming. I like to go where nobody's going. And the last time I went out, I think I went so far, I got scared. I thought to myself, what if a big fish comes out here now? So I had to cut. But I want to bring out something, an illustration for you. You know, I'm not a surfer. I don't know how to surf. But I know the principle. The principle of surfing is study the movement of the waves. Then you wait for the right wave and launch out on it, and the wave carries you. Amen? This is the same thing with the glory of God. There is glory coming in waves. And we have to learn how to be wave glory surfers. We have to learn how to catch the wave or the crest of the wave and allow it to take us where we're going. Praise the Lord. You need to recognize the church is about to enter its best age. Let me explain this to you. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you think the devil is winning or the devil is going to win. According to what I read in scripture, we won. All right? And according to what I read in scripture, the glory that is coming upon the church will give us so much advantage that when we leave this place, maybe by rapture, when it happens, the world will scramble for what we have. So I want to today explain to you that there is glory coming. What is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? The glory of God, the Hebrew word, is the word kavod. The word kavod. It means weight. It means splendor. It means honor. It means substance. It means essence. It means wealth. You see, in Nigeria, sorry, let me go back home a bit. For some of you who are from Nigeria, you understand what I'm saying. You can see a man and say they are heavy. This man is heavy. What do you mean by he's heavy? It means he's loaded. Amen? And I'm telling you that this is the picture that I'm getting. A loaded church. Loaded, not just with money, but with all kinds of precious things. And I'm going to share them with you very quickly as I go along. The Greek word for glory is the word doxa. All right? Same thing, but it means more like brightness, brilliance, magnificence, excellence, dignity, majesty, worth, and worship. And these two words, when you combine them, you begin to get a sense of what it means to have this glory on us. Today, I want you, can you participate? Can we do interactive session? I want you to do something for me. You know, Moses prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Can you pray? Say, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, help me to get a sense of your glory. Tonight, if you are sensitive, you can begin to feel the weightiness of that glory on you. It's right here in this building. Show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory, Lord. Show me your Shekinah presence. Let your glory rest upon me. The promise of God is that the glory of this latter-day house or temple shall be greater than the former. I want to take that literally for us at Kensington Temple LCC. That on this specific day, I announce to you that the glory that is coming upon us is greater than whatever else we have carried in the past. It's a new day. It's a new level. It's a new anointing. It's fresh coming out of heaven. This is the season of the glory of God. And we must expect it. We must believe for it. We must pray it in. And we must be ready to steward that glory when it comes. To be faithful to God. Praise the Lord. This glory will transform the church. It will transform us. There are things coming in this glory. Let me run ahead of myself. It's coming quickly. It's coming swiftly. And the waves are going to follow one another very quickly. It is like Brasting Hicks. Let me go to medical profession a bit. Brasting Hicks is the contractions of the woman before she has a baby. Initially, it's a bit spread out. She may have one in 24 hours. Then, coming closer to the time, it starts to increase. Then the last 2 hours is just like coming frequently. Then the last hour comes very frequently. I'm telling you, this one is going to come very quickly. One after the other, one after the other, one after the other. 2 years ago, God gave me a prophetic word. He said, you will not have finished one celebration before you enter another one. And it has been so. It has been so. I can testify that we have been finishing as we're doing one, another one is starting. As we're finishing one, another one is starting. God has been faithful to his word. And I'm telling you prophetically today, the glory is coming in multiples of waves. Praise the Lord. Let me go quickly to share with you the 12 manifestations. I have 12. I may not get to the 12. So time goes, I will stop. But I want to share with you some of the manifestations of the glory of God that are coming to the church. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, the Bible says, arise. The glory will cause the church to arise. What does arise really mean? What does it mean? It means that we're going to become visible. We're going to take our position in society. We're going to take our position in the culture. We're going to take our position in the nations. We will not be on the sidelines of issues. Praise the Lord. They will not ask you, where is the church? Because the church will be visible. The Bible says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We are going to be that city set on a hill. And we're going to shine the light of Christ to the nations. The church will arise. Let me tell you one-on-one. You will arise. You will arise. Tell your neighbor, I will arise. In the name of Jesus. The glory of God will cause you to be quickened. Number two, the glory will cause the church to shine. The Bible says, arise, shine. The church will shine. There will be a radiance, a brilliance, a brightening light about the church that is going to begin to compel people to come to the kingdom. When I got born again, this is what happened to me. I was in a room and somebody was preaching. I don't even know what they were saying. But at some point in their message, my eyes opened and I saw like light on the faces of everybody in the room. And I knew I didn't have that light. I knew it. And I knew it wasn't money. I knew it wasn't position. I knew it wasn't fame. It wasn't anything. I knew it was something spiritual. But I didn't understand what it was. So I asked the question when they asked me, do you want to give your life to Jesus? I said, yes. I said, no. Before I give my life to Jesus, can you tell me why your face is full of light? Why is this light? I can see this light on your face. I said, is this Jesus? And the man said, I guess it is. That's his answer to me. I said, if it's Jesus, I want this same light. And you know what happened to me? As I stood up to pray the sinner's prayer, I was repeating the words he was telling me, and suddenly I felt something moving in me. And the thing moving in me came out of me. It was not nice. Something came out of me. But I saw this huge ball of light coming out of heaven at such speed. And then it hit me. Boom. And I fell. Nobody touched me. As I was praying the sinner's prayer, that day I knew this is what it means to be born again. Because the Spirit of God came and dwelt within me. Church, the glory is coming. The glory is coming. And it's going to cause you to shine. It's going to cause you to be brilliant. It's going to cause us to get things together. Sometimes when we're not getting it together, the glory is not there yet. Sometimes you struggle. But when the glory is there, it works. Because the excellence is of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number three, the church is going to become beautiful. Hello, ladies. Yeah, I mean it. There's going to be beauty about the church. The church will become attractive. The church will become beautiful. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 13, it says, I will make the place of my dwelling glorious. I will make it beautiful. There's going to be attraction. We're going to have the order. You know, order is very beautiful. When you see divine order, it's beautiful. When you see things matching correctly, it's beautiful. God is going to make the church a beautiful bride. And the Bible says we're going to make ourselves ready. But I believe it's going to be a collaboration between us and the Holy Spirit. And it's going to help us. Amen? And I want to tell you something. I don't know whether you notice this, whether you know this. If you really live under the glory of God, it seems like you are not aging. The glory of God has a way of preserving you, making you look younger and younger and younger and younger. You know, I remember when the Lord said to me, oh, Charles, I still have a lot of work to do. You still have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of work. I said, Lord, at this my age, I should be retiring. The Lord said, retire what? And then the Lord said, when my glory comes, you will be renewed. And I'm telling you, I'm not in the fullness of the glory yet, but I can tell it's changing things about me. I'm feeling young again. I feel like 30 years younger. I'm not going to tell you my age. Praise the Lord. We are going to look younger. We're going to look fresher. We're going to have strength. Amen. All those creaky bones will go because we're in the glory. Amen. The glory will carry you and I. Praise the Lord. Number four. Worship. Worship. When the glory lands, the worship is going to change. It's going to go to another dimension. We're going to get wasted in his presence. We're going to worship God so much that 7 days of worship, days of worship, days of worship. Not just a worship session, but a worship season. Songs, new sounds of glory are coming upon the church. Let me tell you something. These songs are not going to be contained within the walls of the church. They're going to hit the streets. The people of the world will start to dance to our songs. They won't know what they're dancing to, but they will just know it feels nice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And some of you in this room, God's going to call you to this level of worship. My God. My God. Have you ever heard the sounds of heaven? Have you ever heard angels singing? Have you ever heard the rhythms of heaven? It is coming to us. Oh, my God. See, my spirit is so, oh Lord. It's like I should just start praying now. Lord, release the songs of glory. Release the sounds of Zion. Release, 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 release. In this season, in the name of Jesus, let worship explode. Let worship explode. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number five, the church will possess our inheritance. The church will own it. Paul prayed, he said, that the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of the glory of God. We are going to know it, and we're going to lay hold of it. We're going to possess what is ours. The Bible says, on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and the house of Jacob, or the house of Joseph, will possess their possessions. We are going to possess our possessions. Do you know, in missions, God taught me many things. One of the things he taught me, and I'll tell you this story very quickly. I have many stories. So I found myself in a place called Wida in Benin. If you know anything about Wida, Wida is the center of voodoo and witchcraft in the whole world. Haiti, all those people are coming behind Wida. A person from Wida can look at you and curse you. They don't need to say anything. Just by looking at you, they can curse you. They're that strong in witchcraft. And then there is a kind of alliance between the voodoo people and some kind of church people. I'm not going to mention the name of the church, but they have an alliance. If you go to Wida, you will see it yourself. So I found myself, Pastor Philip. I don't know what he was doing that day, but he said, Charles, you are preaching here. I said, why not you? You are the missions director. I was just his assistant at that time. I said, I can't preach here. I'm afraid. He said, no, God is going to be with you. I said, you preach then. Anyway, long and short of it, he put me on the spot. So I prepared a message about the defense of the cross. That was my message. That I will hide behind the cross. No devil will touch me here. And I was ready to stand behind the pulpit and dodge everything. So I prepared my message. I stood there. Somehow, within a few seconds of me holding the microphone, I felt the power of God just come on me. Boom. Anybody who knows those kind of experiences will know what I'm about to say next. I felt no fear again. The fear left. Before that, I was like, Lord, save me today. But after that prayer came, no fear. So I stepped away from the pulpit and I walked into the crowd. And I said, before the devil came here, Jesus has been here. That's the first word that came out of my mouth. I said, before the devil planted his weed, Jesus has sown his word. And I am telling you that the word will swallow up the work of the devil in this place. And I've come to announce to you that Jesus owns Wida. Woo! Suddenly, something began to happen. I didn't pray for more than 15 minutes. Something started happening. Deliverance in the congregation. People were spitting out things, coughing things, vomiting stuff. It was not a nice picture. I don't want to tell you gory details. But what I learned from that is that Jesus told me there is no terra firma, no piece of real estate on this earth that doesn't belong to him. There is no nation. There is no place you go to. Jesus has already been there. How do I know? Let me give you a simple revelation. If you see anything in creation, how did it get there? How did it get there? You can answer back. How? How? Let me tell you, yes, it's creation, but how did he create it? He spoke. He spoke his word. So his word is what created that land. And because it's working on our land, the devil can't take that land. It is ours to claim back for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. That's why I can tell you, any human being, they are not beyond the power of the blood of Jesus. They are not out of redemption. We can bring them in by the grace of God. Because Jesus created them for his glory. Tell your neighbor, you were created for God's glory. Praise the Lord. We will possess our possessions. And I'm going to explain this maybe slightly deeper later on. Number six, holiness is going to become our delight. holiness. You know, sometimes when you seek, say, oh, be holy. Let us be holy. Let's not sin. Suddenly people start to feeling a bit condemned, a bit heavy. The days are coming where you hear holiness, you'll be very happy. You'll be rejoicing, but praise the Lord. I want to be holy. I need holiness. I need to be walking in cleanness. I need to be walking in purity. The Bible says the beauty of holiness. The glory is going to cause us to have a passion for holiness. We will love what God loves and we hate what he hates. Amen? But it's not going to be a condemning holiness. It's not going to be a religious holiness. It's going to be a holiness that is so empowered by grace that we'll be able to embrace the sinner and tell them, I was like you until he touched me. And the same God who touched me can touch you too. Just open your heart to him. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know, Christian, you will like that. Because that's more like our territory when it comes to soul winning. There's no one beyond the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Number seven, we are going to reflect Jesus. We are going to reflect Jesus. People are going to ask you, what's it about you? And you will say, it's Jesus. Because they are going to know that there's something special about you, but I can't really explain. I can't put my hand on it. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, that beholding him as in a mirror, we are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are going to begin to look like Jesus, speak like Jesus, act like Jesus. Everything will be Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, I've heard that Jesus will come in the church before he comes for the church. Get ready for Jesus. Get ready for Jesus. Get ready for Jesus. Get ready to reflect his glory in your lives. Praise the Lord. Number eight, the church is going to attract wealth. Hello? Hello? Listen to me. I don't know what you think. I don't know what your theology says. But God said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. I had to settle this with God. Because, you see, I used to work as a business person. And in that business, I don't think we're doing anything holy or righteous as such. There were a lot of unrighteous things. So when the Lord saved me, I said I can never touch business again because it's rubbish. It's full of sin. But over time, God began to show me that there is not a single shred of wealth on this earth that he didn't put there. Oh, yeah. And then he gave me a scripture. How many of you want to hear a very difficult scripture, but it's very glorious? Ecclesiastes chapter 2, please. I'll just give it to you quickly. It's not in my notes, but if we can have it on the screen, it'll be nice. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Wealth is coming. Wealth is coming. Great wealth. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. The Bible declares, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. Hello? But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting. I didn't write this. This is the word of the Lord. That he may give to him who is good before God. Hello? 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 Pastor T, should I jump out and tell them really? Let me tell you something. Billionaire, trillionaire, whatever near you are working for us. I'm not joking. Somehow, God is going to cause that wealth to be transferred to us. The Bible says the abundance of the sea shall be turned to us. I'm not joking. He says, even the dromedaries and the camels of Midian, of Ephah, they will come with gold and silver. And they will come with incense to worship. The church is going to be a very wealthy church. And if you don't like wealth, oh, sorry. Do you know, Pastor Malcolm, I had a revelation. It's a very interesting revelation. Please follow me. Moses delivers Israel from Egypt, all right? Before they left, what did God say to them? He said, go to the Egyptians and please, I want to hear the word. Those who know your Bible, what did he tell? Thank God, bless you. The word is plunder. Go and plunder those Egyptians. Ask them for gold. Ask them for silver. Ask them for items of clothing. All right? Okay. So they're coming out of Egypt laden with wealth. The Bible tells us something. It said the gold and the silver, they put on their children. The clothes they put on their children. So when they crossed the Red Sea, it was a night journey over the Red Sea. So as the sun was rising in the morning, they were coming out of the Red Sea and the sun was shining on them. And then you look and all you can see is these glittering people because they have gold, they have silver, they have nice clothes, and they're coming out of this sea. That's a picture of the church in the end days. That's a picture of you and I. We're coming out with silver and with gold. We will fund the gospel. We will preach everywhere. We will buy the media houses. We will buy the shopping malls. Whatever we need to buy, we'll buy, because God owns the silver and the gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you are looking at me and saying, where is this man coming from? It's not, I'm not strange. It's the word of the Lord. And I happen to be somebody who believes God literally. I believe whatever he says. There has never been a move of God where his glory is present that wealth is not connected. Wealth will always come. The glory of God is a magnet for wealth. It's like God says, bring it, it's mine. Bring it, it's mine. Bring it, it's mine. That's one of the things that will happen when the glory shows up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Number 9, love will overflow. My God, the glory is going to cause us to fall in love afresh with our King. We are going to love him so much. We will love him so much. And this love will be so attractive. It will be so genuine. It's not like forcing it. We will be ready to do whatever he says we should do. We will obey him. God is going to cause this love to be so latent on us, so powerful on us, that people will pick it up. People will pick it up. It's happened. It's happened. Number 10, evangelism will explode. Missions will explode. My God, in the days of the glory, signs and wonders will be like that. Let me tell you something. I have a revelation. I've shared this with my brother and my sister, Tony and Tayo. I've shared it with them in their church. The Lord spoke to me once and he said, Charles, miracles, signs and wonders will be so commonplace, it will be like we are speaking in tongues. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, remember, how did you get tongues? I said, somebody prayed for me. He said, you started speaking a strange language that you didn't learn from, you didn't go to any school to learn it. He says, the same way I will be doing miracles. It will be as easy as speaking in tongues. Yes. So look at your hands. Both hands. Tell them these hands have been designed by God for working miracles. And even tonight, God will use your hands to do miracles. There is miracles in our hands. There's miracles in our hands. You know why? You know why? Glory carriers are carrying the Lord. And when you touch somebody, it's the Lord touching them. And tell me who will not bow when the Lord touches them. Hallelujah. I like something Pastor Malcolm said earlier on. He said, I'm only a donkey. My God, I like that expression. I'm only a donkey. But do you know when the donkey is mounted by the Lord? Amen. What happens? Everything begins to clear. They begin to celebrate the Lord. Amen. The donkey shouldn't think it's the one doing it. But you should also realize that it is you carrying the Lord that is making all these things happen. The Lord is doing something. And we're going to see amazing signs and wonders. Such that it will blow our own minds too. Have you ever seen a miracle that makes you open your mouth? You are the one that God walked through and you are still opening your mouth. What happened here? Oh, yeah. You know, I like signs, but wonders makes you do. Yeah, open your mouth. That's a wonder. What happened here? Because there's something awesome about a wonder. Praise the Lord. No eyes, a nice form right in front of you. Somebody didn't have hair, and their hair grew in front of you. Ha! Yes. You don't you read the Bible, read the stories? Stories of the of God's moves. In a meeting, this is one I won't mind because of my size right now. They said somebody lost so much weight in a meeting because the hand of God just came upon them, gave them a right size. Amen, Lord. I'm waiting on that one. Praise the Lord. But I'm serious. Miracles are going to multiply. The lame will walk, the blind will see, the dead will be raised. These things are going to become commonplace. You know, whatever you want to say, in Nigeria, it's not a big deal to see miracles. For us, miracles is part of our life now. And you know, there was a case in northern Nigeria, and they said somebody in the church died. And they came to call the pastor. And the pastor said, I don't need to go. You see those kids in the youth ministry, a few of them, 13, 14 years old, take them to go and pray for the person. And when they were going, he said, don't come back until you raise the person. Of course they raised the person and brought the person back to church. Common thing. Amen? It's coming to England. It's coming to London. It's coming across the British Isles. You know why? I know God is not done with England. I can tell you God is not done with England. All the shakings we are seeing now is because God is preparing England for his glory. He's not done. You know, God has given me a burden, and the burden is this, that England will turn back to the word of God. Makota Kayabara. And the word of God will be restored to England and the British Isles in the name of Jesus. And God will raise up an army in this land like we have never seen before. Amen. And amen. And amen. Tell your neighbor you are in the right place at the right time, in the right season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have I gotten to number 11? My God, I'm going fast. Number 12, I'm finished now. Number 12. God's presence is going to become tangible. Tangible presence of God. What do I mean by this? You see, in the Old Testament, the glory of God moves into buildings. And when the glory of God moves into buildings, the worship changed. People fell on their faces. Amen? God is about to bring glory into territories. I want to say it like an African. Territories. So for instance, one day God may decide it's time to send the glory to London. And by the grace of God, come through Kessington Temple, LCC Network, come. But when the glory comes, it's not going to stay here. It's going to just spill out. And it will cover geographical regions. And anybody within those regions, they are going to come under the power of conviction. Some of them will run and say, I need to find Jesus. I need to be saved. What do I need to be saved? You know, I had an experience once about the Shekinah. Here was I in King's Cross with Pastor Lincoln. They came to us with their community. The community were suffering with the AIDS virus. It was an epidemic in their community. And many of them were dying. And so he came to us and said, Pastor Charles, would you please let us use your building for prayer? Of course, God has shown me they were coming. So I said, okay. And we began to pray 24-7. We prayed round the clock. We never stopped worshiping. We never stopped praying. And we did it for 82 days nonstop. On the 21st day, God gave a prophetic word. No one will die anymore of this AIDS. And that day we got the prophetic word coincided with the day that the AIDS retroviral was discovered. Interesting. So some things happen when you pray. It looks like coincidence, but it's not coincidence. God is working. Anyway, long and short of it, after 82 days, we said, enough. Now that people are not dying again, you guys can go back to your church. Let us have our building back, and let's continue what we're doing. That evening, we called a meeting of our church. Sat down like this. I was sitting there in the scala, and a cloud came into the building. Cloud. Physical cloud. I'm not talking my imagination. We all saw it. And the cloud began to roll down. And then the cloud settled over everybody in the place. In fact, we were so, it's like, what's going on? The people were putting their hands in it. Yes. This is in this London. It's not Nigeria. It's not America. It's not South America. It's in this London, in King's Cross. It happened. The glory came. Amazing manifestation. And I thought to myself, Lord, what are you saying? He said, I'm telling you that work has been done. It's completed. Because you know, when Moses finished building the house, the glory came. When Solomon finished building the temple, the glory came. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to know that God is telling you, prepare yourself for the glory. It's coming to you. It's coming to you. How many of you want to carry this glory of God? How many of you want it?